Avant d'introduire Maria-Adriana, juste pour rappeler quand même le déroulé de la conférence, en fait, on a choisi une formule, je dirais, légère en disant 3 jours de conférence, ça peut être un peu long, ça peut être un peu difficile à suivre. C'est pour ça qu'on a choisi les 3 après-midi pour essayer de faire quelque chose qui mélange l'utile à l'agréable et surtout l'utile. Alors, l'utile pour nous, c'est de pouvoir vous donner des informations qui nous ont semblé intéressantes, issues de nos réflexions aussi bien sur le plan scientifique, mais aussi surtout au niveau des 3 ateliers et de 2 journées de conférences qu'on a pu mener au sein de l'UEA. Alors, très important, puisqu'à un moment donné, on a essayé de passer de l'approche holistique de la résilience à une approche plus sectorielle, plus disciplinaire. On est parti sur, finalement, en disant les infrastructures et leur rôle par rapport à la résilience. Comment on peut l'appréhender, comment on peut l'analyser, quelles sont les expériences originales, quels sont les réseaux intéressants à mobiliser autour de nous. Alors, au sein de l'EIVP, avec mon collègue et ami Marc Vuillet, on est impliqué dans un projet européen qui s'appelle Rescue, qui regroupe des pratiques, qui regroupe, je dirais, des binômes très intéressants, puisque chaque ville vient avec son centre de recherche ou son université pour essayer de réfléchir sur les questions de la résilience avec des approches, je dirais, tournées vers l'évaluation ou tournées vers l'implémentation. L'implantation, pardon, c'est du mauvais anglicisme là. Alors, dans le cadre du projet Rescue, il y a plusieurs villes qui sont impliquées. Il y a Lisbonne, il y a Barcelone qui pilote ce projet, et il y a aussi Bristol qui est venu travailler avec l'université d'Exeter, et il y a l'école des ingénieurs de la ville de Paris qui accompagnait toutes ces villes pour ces questions de la résilience et très tournées vers les questions des infrastructures. Alors, c'est un choix délibéré et assumé qu'on a invité Maria-Adriana Cardozo, puisque Maria-Adriana, elle travaille depuis longtemps au sein du LNEC, qui est le plus grand laboratoire de recherche autour des questions de génie civil de Lisbonne. Et c'est un modèle très intéressant parce que c'est un centre de recherche, mais qui s'associe beaucoup aux entreprises, aux collectivités territoriales, et répond d'une manière très intensive aux projets européens. Alors, du coup, premier point, ça c'est une raison suffisante, mais une deuxième raison plus importante, c'est que finalement, elle part des sciences de l'ingénieur pour montrer que c'est très important pour les territoires. Alors, avec son équipe, ils ont publié un papier récemment qu'on a identifié comme un papier de référence issu des travaux de Rescue sur les questions d'un cadre conceptuel, cadre méthodologique ou cadre conceptuel pour l'évaluation de la résilience et à se coupler les enjeux stratégiques, le diagnostic autour de ce cadre méthodologique. Alors, bien sûr, quand on a un binôme universitaire, université plus collectivité, ça semble aussi logique que les deux interviennent ensemble. Alors justement, Maria-Adriana nous a demandé, parce qu'on voulait, nous, dans notre version initiale, c'est un témoignage de la ville. On est parti sur une présentation à 2 voix entre Maria-Adriana et Maria João Telhado, qui est la chef de la division environnement et énergie de la ville de Lisbonne. Alors, du coup, vous allez avoir, mais je parle là sous le contrôle de Margot, que Maria-Adriana et Maria João, elles sont dans la même salle. On n'est pas sûr, mais en tout cas, vous allez avoir une présentation à 2 voix, 2 voix peut-être qui sont dans la même pièce ou dans 2 pièces différentes. Alors, cette présentation, normalement, elle va susciter quelques questions et réponses par la suite. On a 10 minutes pour répondre à ces questions. Et on passera ensuite à une table ronde autour des questions du diagnostic état des lieux, et bien sûr, en donnant la parole à des villes en dehors de la ville de Paris, qui sont dans le réseau 100 villes résilientes, et pour regarder leur investissement et leurs principaux résultats. Et on a choisi, par exemple, la ville de Manchester. Mais je ne détaillerai pas tout le programme parce que nous aurons l'occasion, avec Sadie, de vous le présenter à fur et à mesure. table ronde et les témoignages. Voilà, je pense pouvoir passer maintenant la parole tout de suite à Maria Adriana, si elle est avec nous, pour sa présentation avec à double voix avec Maria João Telhado de Lisbonne. Et la présentation, bien sûr, se fera en anglais. À vous la parole.
Bonjour à tous. En première place, je veux féliciter l'organisation de cette conférence pour le thème choisi, que devient de plus en plus important. Et je pense que notre expérience aujourd'hui est évidente, que tout le monde peut être convoqué pour la résilience. Je veux aussi remercier l'organisation, en particulier professeur Saadi Lalou de l'IOA, professeur Youssef Diab et Marc Fouillé de l'AIVP et monsieur Sébastien Maire de la ville de Paris pour l'invitation et l'opportunité de partager les travaux développés avec vous. La présentation sera en anglais. Alors maintenant, je vais changer pour anglais. So thank you very much once more. This presentation will be shared, as was mentioned, with Maria João Telhado from the Lisbon municipality. The presentation will be shared from my side. So this presentation will be shared with Maria João Telhado from the Lisbon municipality. I will speak about why and how we co-created the resilience assessment framework, and to show you the resilience assessment framework as a diagnosis tool for cities and urban services. And then Maria João will present Lisbon in action. So why we co-created this framework? It is important to be aware of the high level impacts of the growth of urban populations and people at risk due to climate change impacts. And here we can see what is expected between today and the year 2015. The urban resilience is very important in order to provide the ability of the human settlements to withstand, recover quickly, and adapt from any plausible hazards. And this is the concept that we considered in the development of this framework. Urban areas are dynamic. They are continually evolving and changing. They are complex and vulnerable, and they have many related risk sources that are associated to water cycle. They have multiple strategic urban services and stakeholders, and the building of city resilience involves the characterization of the sources of risk, the exposure, and the vulnerability, and also to take into account interactions between multiple services sectors and stakeholders, and it should include the stakeholders and the citizens' perceptions and needs. So the relevance of the resilience assessment has been recognized internationally, and the international agendas, and I mentioned here the Sendai Framework for Disaster Risk Reduction, the Strategic Development Goals, the New Urban Agenda, the Paris Agreement, all they consider assessment steps for tracking implementation. So the assessment of the current and the future resilience is the basis to know where the city stand, to identify the real needs to enhance the urban resilience, and to support the decision on strategies, actions, and measures, and so to support the planning in the medium, long, and short terms, So providing support to develop the resilience action plan and also assess the progress. The work developed was within the rescue project that was already mentioned here. And just an overall of this project, it is a project regarding the resilience to cope with climate change in urban areas. It has integrated about 18 partners, and it is coordinated by Aquatech Suez. The three cities that were already mentioned are Barcelona, Brisbane, and Lisbon. And within the working areas of the project, one of the main areas is the development of resilience action plans. And to support this, a resilience assessment framework was developed. These three cities have common features. They are strongly committed with resilience and climate change. They have an intense work already ongoing, but they have also some different characteristics, climate conditions, and affected services. And they need to develop resilience action plans. So an analysis of the existing frameworks was carried out, looking for the several frameworks existing and identifying those that are more, that mainly address the climate change. So these are the ones that are here presented. And they address different themes, like governance, social themes, spatial, built environment, economy, and natural environment. And they also address diverse sectors. I included here those that are the sectors addressed in rescue, so the ones that were considered in the resilience assessment framework. So water, wastewater, and stormwater, waste, energy, and mobility. From this analysis, it was identified the need to a structured and objective-driven assessment for the city that could consider the integration of all the themes and all the sectors simultaneously, and that could also provide an assessment of resilience for a single sector, including the interdependencies with other sectors. And besides that, that could be freely usable by the managers of the cities or of the services to develop their resilience action plans. So the resilience assessment framework was developed. How we developed it? The approach followed after the analysis of the existing frameworks. A preliminary proposal was established. And this proposal was validated internally within the project by testing in the three cities and by discussing with all the partners involved, but also an external validation with external stakeholders through the implementation of workshops. And then from all this work, a final version was produced. There were some requirements found in literature to the development of this type of frameworks, namely that it is fundamental to consider the multidisciplinary insights, since the city are multidimensional entities, to consider the interacting systems and their relationships, namely address interdependencies and cascading effects, includes both sudden crisis, but also the changing along the time, and involve the different stakeholders' participation and integrate their concerns. So all these requirements were taken into account, and a preliminary proposal was developed considering the dimensions according to the framework from UN Habitat, the City Resilient Profiling Program. And these are the organizational dimension that looks for the top-down governance relations and urban population involvement. The spatial dimension that looks for the urban space and environment, and it mainly addresses the city. The functional dimension that looks for the strategic service in the city, in this case, looking the rescue services, and the physical dimension that looks for the infrastructures of these services. And those two last dimensions mainly address the services. So the structure of the framework is a tree structure. For each dimension, the resilience objectives are defined and they are expressed by different points of view that constitute the criteria. And then each criteria is assessed through metrics that can be evaluated by reference values, providing an indication of a level of development to support a structure diagnosis. Besides that, a city and the service profile is provided to consider the characteristics of the city and of the services that provide the context and that support the interpretation of the results of the assessment. The metrics are questions associated to a set of answers. These answers are linked to a development level that can be an incipient, progressing, or advanced. And each metric is also associated to a relevance level, essential when any city should assess these metrics, complementary when there are information that could complement or is only applicable for certain contexts, and comprehensive when it is needed to go into a deeper analysis. From the availability of information from literature, significant information was available for organizational and spatial dimensions, but more limited information was available for the functional and physical dimensions. So, the framework developed new metrics, and the validation was made through three activities: working group discussions, workshops, and testing, and using different tools such as surveys, brainstormings, combined brainstormings, and sectorial brainstorming, the development of a web-based application to facilitate the use by the rescue cities in testing the framework, and the rough sharing. So the external validation was mainly due by the implementation of the workshops, three workshops, each one of the rescue cities, where the stakeholders were selected, considering 4 to 5 entities from each rescue service and other from other cross-cutting sectors, such as urban planning, infrastructures management, civil protection, meteorological services, in a total of 45 stakeholders and 92 attendees. And the main objective was to collect the opinion on the relevance of the objectives and the applicability to their own city, and also the possibility to each entity contribute to the determination of the metrics. Besides that, suggestions for improvement opportunities and to integrate the stakeholders' concerns. From the testing, the internal validation allowed to see the results of the answering to the metrics. And it is evident that for the first two dimensions, most of the metrics were answered. Regarding the services, functional and physical, there were some metrics that were not answered. In some cases due to lack of information, in some cases the information exists but not in the format that could be provided to reply to the answer, to the metrics. So now the final version of the framework will be presented, remarking the scope of the framework, which is assess urban resilience to climate change and with focus on water. This means that other hazards are not incorporated. It focuses on the cities services and infrastructure resilience, meaning that social and political dimensions are not included unless they are directly related to the aspects assessed. It is objective driven, so is supported on the compliance of the resilience objectives. It considers the alignment with existing frameworks that the cities already used, and it is flexible, allowing to future inclusion of additional objectives, other hazard, other services. So we have here an overview of the organizational and spatial dimensions. So the organizational dimension has three resilience objectives to assess, and these objectives are the collective engagement and awareness, leadership and management, and city preparedness. And each objective is described by different points of view. For instance, for city preparedness, we look for the preparedness for disaster response, for climate change, for recovery and build back, and to access to basic services. The spatial dimension has two objectives, the spatial risk management and the provision of protective infrastructures and ecosystems, and the functional and physical dimensions regarding the urban services. Each one has three objectives. In the functional dimension, service planning and risk management, autonomous service and service preparedness. Regarding the physical dimension, looking for the infrastructures, a safe infrastructure, autonomous and flexible, and infrastructure preparedness. And this structure is replicated for each one of the services, of course, considering the specificities of each service. So I will now try to pass the video about the RAFAP, the web-based tool, that shows you how this could be used by the cities or the services. So to finalize these rough remarks, the resilience assessment framework was built to integrate the stakeholders' concern. It provides a structured assessment of urban resilience for any city, service or organization. It allows to integrate the information provided by diverse sources of analysis already in use by the city and by the service managers. And it is flexible, allowing to be expanded to additional dimensions and hazards. And so just the final remark that assessing current and future resilience is fundamental to know where the city stands, to identify the real needs, to enhance urban resilience, to support the decision on the strategies and to support the development of resilience action plans, to plan in the long, medium and short terms, and also to assess the progress. And so I will now pass for Maria João, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for this invitation. First of all, it's a pleasure to participate in this webinar and also to share the work done in Lisbon municipality and to present the last research in terms of urban resilience combined with the sustainable development and climate change. As you can see, we intend to present Lisbon in action as a complex and dynamic living system where the interdependencies are increasing. So it's important to have all days inputs, updates, and give results to update the process and increase the urban resilience. In terms of our city profile, of course, to present the Resilient Action Plan, we will focus only based in the rescue project. And of course, the city profile needs to understand and combine the commitments and alignments of the city with a GIS characterization of the city, the services and the interdependencies between all them. We will work our profile combining the past, the present and the future, considering the different climate change scenarios, the hazards and the and using a resilient assessment approach. Also, we intend to integrate a database of strategies and measures combining adaptation and mitigation, and also modulate that strategies and measures to have a better cities. The importance of RAF, Resilient Action Framework, was the tool we used to monitor and review the process of the city. Principal remarks to work in a resilient process combined with sustainable developments are the problems of harmonization of concepts, partnership, reinforce, strengthen the partnership, including local, regional, and national and international levels, private and public and research, also including the importance of the citizens and the volunteer, promote a timetable schedule, work in the field, and also in research laboratories, disseminate events and involve the community, and have a joint reassessment. Nowadays, we are finalizing a Lisbon Action Plan for the C40 network, and considering Lisbon as a global city, a city informed, inclusive, educative, sustainable, resilience to climate change, and design for the future. In terms of our road, the work began on 208 with the Convention of Mayors. We have different targets related with the decarbonization to 230 and 250. And now, today, this year, Lisbon is the European capital, so we have different targets to achieve. Of course, with the COVID, some of them were not possible to achieve until now, and we need to combine climate change with the disruption events like the COVID situation. As you can see in this image, the first Resilience Action Plan was designed focused on the main objectives of UNISDAIR. It was a challenge based on the different essentials of the scorecard, where we design which were the principal goals, which were the principal actions to move on, and also to combine them and create different projects. These are two published documents with some data and involvement of Lisbon in terms of validate and in terms of resilience assessment. And these were our first metrics to assess the different essentials, the 10 essentials. We didn't work on the assessment related with infrastructures because the infrastructures in Lisbon were not total responsibility from the municipality, and we need to work this essential with the private sectors. Each essential is divided in different sub-criterias, and all of them were measured in a different scale with 5 values. Each of them were analyzed, and with this information we understand our weakness and our strengths. Of course, all of this story begins with our dimension. Lisbon is the capital of Portugal, an Atlantic city, a coastal city, with a small dimensions, only with 85 kilometers. All of the city is urban soils. We have also only two spaces, not urban soils, that it's the airport and the urban forests. And it's divided in 24 counties. You can see the dimension in terms of population. We have more or less 500,000 of people during the night, and during the days with the commuters, we have 1 million of people because we are the center of the metropolitan area. All this information is compiled in an integrated system using GIS, where we can see the territorial area and our dimensions related with the water cycle, because the rescue project was based on water cycle only. Other dimensions in terms of diagnosis is in terms of climate. We have a Mediterranean climate. You can see the evolution of our climate during a year, and you can see our values in terms of average and the maximum that we have in terms of temperature, in terms of rainfall, in terms of high tide level. And this is an important issue to study together. We have different weather warning levels at the regional level. And it's important to combine the climate situation with the weather warnings. In terms of future, the climate scenarios for the city. Are to increase the temperature, the sea level rise, decrease of rainfall, and increase of the droughts, of course, and decrease of the extreme weather events. You can see in the right that in the last 50 years, we had several extreme weather events related with different parameters. High or low temperature, floods, winds, and gusts, and so on. Sorry. In terms of our strategy, Lisbon climate change, in terms of inputs, we intend to align climate change with the Paris Agreement, considering two scenarios, RCP 4.5 as a medium scenario, and the worst, RCP 8.5. We intend to align or downscaling the climate change scenarios with research from national authorities and researchers, and also with the outputs of rescue projects and other projects that we have taking it, and also, combined with the extreme event criteria. All the work that we've done have the projections for a long time. We work for the century, but we also have other targets like 2030 and 2050. With all this work together, we intend to stabilize the climate projections and support the climate action plan on moving at local, regional, and national level, and also to monitorize, share, learn, and adapt to act together. These are some projections. As you can see, the values are different models, different downscalings, give different results, and these are the principal main challenge to have nowadays is to finalize a good strategy in terms of which will be our future in terms of climate change, using different scenario projection scenarios. In terms of Lisbon in Action, I will present a small video where you can see different strategies that are ongoing here in the city. Are different strategies, as you can see. In terms of our challenge, we intend to overcome targets globally stabilized, goals committed in terms of urban resilience, sustainable development and climate action, and also for other types of disruption events, act together, overcoming barriers, implementing strategies, and moving from a plan to action. Choose to evolve is the motto for this year in terms of European Green Capital. Final remarks. We intend to increase the involvement of decision makers in the and the technical and scientific in the process, enhance the synergies and the alignment between local, regional, national, international strategic frameworks, networks and instruments, reinforce the successful strategy of strengthening, ensure the continuity of financing, integrate platforms, tools and frameworks, continue to commit the organizations and citizens to comply, share results, strengths and weakness, ensure the maximum replicability and continuity of the process. Here you can see we work on a cycle dimension before, during and after a disruption event. In each phase of the process, we need to learn. Is important to have this dimension or everyday presence. And thank you.
Very interesting presentation. I have one question with two dimensions. First one, can you elaborate more about the indicators you are using? About you gave giving one or two examples. And the second one, what's the acceptance of your framework? I mean, even in rescue, did you compare the different cities? Did you compare Bristol with Barcelona, with Lisboa about this resilience? And I'm impressed by the scenarios. Your scenarios are very interesting and very useful for the decision-making process in Lisbon. Or are the politicians going to use it for the next period or not? So maybe three questions in one.
I understood the first questions were directed to me or regarding the assessments of the three cities?
The first one about the indicators. The second one about the comparison between cities, between the three cities of rescue. Are you comparing are doing the assessment for the three cities? And we'll talk later about the third question. Okay.
Yeah. Can you just remind me the about the indicators, because I was not really listening very well.
Can you give us an example of one indicator, for example, about heat waves or about flooding or something?
Yes. So the indicators are answered regarding the hazard that is being assessed. So you can do the assessment for the flooding, for instance. One indicator, for instance, for the city preparedness is about, for instance, for disaster response at the organizational level, is if there are early warning systems implemented, if what is the reach of the warning, if there are interoperability between the entities working and responsible for that, for instance. Regarding more specific for the services, what is the extent of the flooding within the city? What were the buildings affected? What are the other infrastructures affected? If there was failures in the infrastructures functioning. So there are very different types. The framework has about 700 indicators. If the attendees need to know in more detail the metrics, they are available in the articles published. I can give the DOI in the question and answers. For those that want to have this information in more detail.
We shall put it on the website when we do the final clip. If I can comment on this, what I understand is that your assessment framework is actually using a checklist more than quantitative indicators. Is that correct?
They have different types of metrics. Some are questions, some are more quantitative, giving a range of flooding area affected, number of failures in some certain services, what are the infrastructure at risk. Some are more quantified, but is not, we do not, given the uncertainty also that are associated, we don't need to know one number exactly, but a range of the numbers. And other are more a checklist of what has been done, if it is, what is integrated in the planning, for instance, what the city knows or about the impacts of the of some event. So there are different types of indicators. May I proceed to the three cities?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So we did not compare the cities because the purpose was not to compare the cities. The purpose of the framework is not really to have a global number of how resilient the city is. This was developed to support the development of resilience action plans. So to identify what are the main issues, the main aspects that need to be improved, and not so much to have a global number of resilience. So they were applying in the three cities to support the development of the action plans, identify where the city is more advanced, where is already progressing but still need to still have opportunities for improvement, and what is more incipient, what needs to be further worked. So we did not compare the three cities because it was not the objective of the framework. May I pass to Maria João now?
Yes. In terms of the three cities, it's important to say that the project RESCUE have one deliverable ongoing that will be the three resilient action plans. So you can see in the different documents what are the different strategies, the different goals, but all of them will contribute to resilient action plan as is in a urban city. In terms of the final questions, in terms of our targets to achieve and the involvement of the mayor, the mayor is involved in the process and is our intention to present during this year action plan where we can have our targets related with decarbonization and also in terms of climate change. This instrument or framework is not finalized because of COVID. We have some problems and some delays related with this situation. Also related with COVID, the principal goals are also updated. So we need to combine climate change with other disruption events. I don't know if I answered to your question.
You answered, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, and we'll talk about this in the final conference in Barcelona in October, hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. We have an extra question from the participants. Somebody has asked if you used projections from the IPCC, and if so, are you planning on adapting your model to a more realistic projection, considering that maybe the IPCC is not the most realistic?
Yes, the base projections was based on the fifth report of IPCC, and then we have to and the need to downscaling the results to the city. Some of them are for the metropolitan area and not for the city. And this is the most relevant challenge, is to have the researchers, the new updates of the IPCC after the fifth report to combine and have results for the worst and the medium scenario to understand which will be the future of the city. Of course, these are the importance in terms of climate change, in terms of the sea level rise. We used other scenarios developed from the National University here from Lisbon, and in terms of climate change, the principal scenarios was presented by the national authority in terms of climate in Portugal.
I think we have one more question from the public. Margot?
Several people are asking if the RAF app will be available to anyone or only for projects, for partners of the project, RESCUE?
The app will be publicly available. As soon as it is approved by the European Commission supervisors. So this constitutes a deliverable of the project, and this will be made public together with other tools from the project. But this demo, I think Margot has already the video. It can be published if you according to your interest. You have also the link to the rescue project, so you can follow this link and see as soon as we have the RAF publicly available. But the answer is yes, it will be public.
Do you know when?
Probably by the end of the year.
Just for information, the final conference of RSQ project will take place in Barcelona in October, and all people are invited to come if they want.
Do we have any more burning questions? One more, yes?
It's break time, right?
No, just one more.
What is the perimeter of the evaluation? Is it only the competencies of the city, or is it more broadly all the activities on the territory?
So the scope of evaluation can be more broader than the city. It has to be clearly defined. In the city and services profile, it should be identified specifically what is the scope of the evaluation.
Okay, well, should I speak in English or in French? English, okay. Well, thank you very much, Maria Adriana and Maria Joao. We will now have a break of 20 minutes, and we will start again at 4 o'clock Paris time. Depending on where you are, I don't know exactly what time that is, but that will be exactly in 20 minutes. Thank you again. As you have seen, it is not absolutely trivial to have an online conference with multi-point and a simultaneous translation, but we're learning as we're doing, and we're going to solve a few of the issues that we have encountered in this first session during the break. And I will welcome you again in 20 minutes. Have a good break and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.